Hello, welcome to AfterBuzz TV. I have arrested control of the show from Yell, and get ready for more of this hot chocolate on the Dark Matter After Show.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hey guys, tell me it's real. This feeling that I feel for you joining us here on AfterBuzz TV for the Dark Matter After Show. This is episode 308, season 3, episode 8, yep. Hot Chocolate. I am your host, Tari J. Miller, and I'm joined by two wonderful hosts, Andrew.
Hey, what's up, y'all? I'm Andrew Mena. You can find me on Twitter at Andrew Mena or on Instagram at TheAndrewMena.
Natalie.
Hi, guys. I'm Natalie Dyer, and you can find me at Natalie Dyer on all social media platforms.
Awesome. Once again, I'm Tari. You can find me at Tari J, TariJay. While you're here, don't forget to hit that thumbs up button if you're watching on YouTube and subscribe so you can get this show every week in your inbox.
Same time, same channel.
Heck yeah. So, what did you guys think about the episode overall?
I'm going to gush, so I'll let you go first.
Okay.
I mean, I liked it. I thought it was there was a point where I was like, this is a little slow, but mainly just because I kind of saw a lot of what was coming along, I think.
Okay.
But I was just thinking it was slower than a couple of other episodes that we've had.
Interesting.
I still liked it a lot. Right. It just was one of those where I was like, It was also a lot of thinking of what's going to happen now, like who's doing what.
Right.
So
I mean, yes.
There was a lot of time to think.
Uh-huh.
Which, that's just too much time to think, you guys.
Yeah, everyone knows Natalie hates thinking.
Yeah, she is not a think-oriented person.
It's true. She's a doer.
She's a beer.
Yes.
Yes.
What about you, Andrew?
I loved this episode. I can't say enough. I think this was the best episode to date. I'm saying it now. That fight sequence between Rio and Two was probably, like, the best choreographed and the most exciting and rad fight sequence we've gotten out of the show.
It was so good.
I have so many thoughts about this episode and how lovely and wonderful it was, how much world building we did in this episode, and how many kind of nooks and crannies we filled out, questions we kind of answered. Like, I really liked this episode. I can't say enough.
That's awesome. And so I'm going to take that energy and I'm going to disperse it by talking about colony negotiations.
Do it!
I'm going to...
Can we get back
with
to
our three colony negotiators?
We're definitely going to get to the fight.
I'm saving it. There's a lot of goopy, sweet deliciousness that I'm saving for later in the show. Stay tuned. We have a special video from the cast and crew of Dark Matter. Yeah. So stay tuned and we will be showing that to you later. But first, colony negotiations.
The thing we all wait for so long.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it goes to the world building that you were talking about. We got we start with the scene of these people from different independent colonies arguing about whether they should join together, talking about trade routes, talking about how they should align themselves in this war.
How they can survive in this crazy galactic war where they're essentially the smallest fish in the ocean.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And Six is the one trying to mitigate between all of them.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. So what I really enjoyed about this whole thing is you get the struggle that Six has been going through the last, I assume it's been a few months since he left the team and then came back. So over that time, we had just assumed that everything was going great, things were super easy, but it turns out that it's been this for months.
Right.
Yeah.
You know?
Which is just terrible.
It's hard work.
Nobody wants that.
Let's talk about the three colony people really quick, because this is another example.
There's four to start.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, there's three that we remember.
Wait a second.
All right, okay, fine. Let's talk about the four colony people and how much we cared about them, because even though I wrote down Longhair got knifed.
Yes.
So Longhair got knifed. Sorry, Longhair. I liked you, but I didn't like you as much as I like Bald Guy. Bald Guy was the best.
He was stabbed. Longhair was stabbed in the
back. He was stabbed in the back of the neck.
Backstabbing.
He literally got backstabbed.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah.
That's a lot of symbolism there.
See that, you guys? I think there is some symbol. There's a lot of symbolism, I feel like, in this episode. So we'll talk about more of that in a minute.
Okay.
But, or maybe we won't. Maybe I'm misquoting my notes. I was too excited. Maybe I can't read.
So, I mean, they plant this mystery at the beginning of the episode where Longhair, his name was Rin.
Yes.
Rin was one of the two people named in this episode in terms of the colonists.
Did Bald have a name?
Bald guy did not have a name.
Thank goodness. I would have been so mad at
but
myself.
But the redheaded lady, her name was Quill.
Wasn't
so we
she
had Quill and Rin.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I think she's the one that killed the guy.
So you think that she killed Rin.
It's an interesting point, because we assume, because of the reveal, that it's the android.
Right.
And by we, I mean
I did,
me.
Yeah, I assume that immediately.
But it's, like, especially considering their ultimate decision about everything, like, it easily could have been any of them.
Right.
Like, great point. Damn.
Yeah.
Opening doors.
Yes.
Mental doors.
Their decision, basically, is prompted by Rio's offer.
Mm-hmm.
He essentially, which I feel like, despite what we know about Rio and, like, our history with him, I feel like it, on the surface, seems like a pretty good deal. He's basically like, if I'll give you, I'll use my clout to get you into the League of Autonomous Worlds, and all you got to do is pledge allegiance to the Ishida army, and, you know, if I need you, just, like, do
just
some stuff.
Just answer the call.
Right.
Yeah. See, here's the thing, though. Like, it's a dangerous situation because we don't know them. Because they're not, like, I'm not going to say not important characters, but they're not characters from the main cast. And they're not characters who are ever going to know Rio, really.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, they're put in a really hard situation, which is, like, live and take this deal, or die and, like, probably, or, well, just die. Just straight up die. So I feel like it's a really, I'm frustrated by it because I really enjoyed the scene. I thought that Rio did a really great job of being snaky in a way that I felt like was really powerful.
Yeah.
And I thought that they all did a good job of being like, well, is this our only option? And even Six did a great job of being like, I know this guy. You guys should not listen.
Right.
And like, that's the frustrating thing, is they put all of those wonderful ingredients together and they still make that wrong choice. Or at least I feel the wrong choice, you know?
Okay.
Right.
So it's good.
I don't understand why they weren't banding together in the first place. They just didn't want to provoke, like, a larger army? Is that why they weren't? Smaller, minor arguments like, oh, well, no, I want the water or whatever? You know, like,
so the main thing that they were arguing about is essentially there were a few factors. One, each of them viewed their resources as more important as the others.
Of course.
And so they felt like they were losing if they were to work with these other colonies.
Hey guys,
moreover,
learn in kindergarten that sharing
is caring.
Guys, we didn't learn that in kindergarten.
Great question.
We learned it from a spearmint commercial.
But here's the question. Is there kindergarten, though? Or is there even spearmint in this universe?
That's true.
Don't know.
Maybe they don't know about sharing. Commercial.
That's true.
Yeah.
They're so far in the future. It's lost to the wind.
Spearmint is
pre-internet commercials.
They've never heard of Double Mint.
Yes.
Don't even talk to them about juicy fruit. They don't have gum in the future.
What you got?
So Melosi is definitely in the chat.
Uh-huh.
Talking up a storm. He says, this recent episode kicks off our best run this series.
Yes.
I have some comments for the fight scene later.
He said,
yes, we have to bring back Ash because, guys, we had an Ash.
We had an Ash reference. Yeah.
It was pretty
dope. I was real happy about that. And there's, so we've got a lot of other stuff happening too.
A lot of other stuff.
Well, let's get
just
to that
to say,
stuff
yeah.
soon. just to round this out. Their main issues were essentially that they felt like they were losing something in working together.
Right.
And also, they felt like they may have been able to get a better deal if they were to try to align themselves with one of the corporations like Ferris. So Rin specifically felt like he wanted to realign himself with Ferris, since his colony was originally a Ferris colony, which is probably why he was murdered.
I got the sense that there was also a sense... Well, there was also this kind of weird underlying thing that I thought you kind of touched upon, where it's like they're scared to join together because it also makes them a target for everyone else. Because it's like, hey, look, we're going to do a thing, too. It's like, oh, no, you're not.
Right.
We worked a long time to become crazy, cool corporations with all this money and power. We're going to destroy you really easily.
Yeah, I thought he was, I mean, the thing is that once you power together, or like band together and become a power, then you're an actual player. At the moment, you're just a pawn.
Right.
And so that's what really frustrated me when he was like, well, they need us. And two was like, no.
Yeah.
No, they don't. He's like, well, who's going to mine these things? She's like, well, whoever they hire after they kill you.
Yeah.
You
that
know?
Was a baller
that was
quote
a,
where
yes.
she's like, life's cheap.
Yeah.
Terranium is the stocks are going up.
200%
yeah.
up or something like that. Yeah.
So... resources are worth something. Your life is nothing.
There was a great moment between Two and that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I really liked Two throughout this episode, kind of being the voice of reason. She's very much like the pragmatist of all of the people. Like Six, there's that moment she has with him where he's like, we got to figure out who murdered these people. And she's like, you're not a cop, bro. Like, it's better to not have a murderer on this, on the ship, than to leave them here and try to hash this out.
Yeah.
So I thought that was a really good moment with her as well.
I totally agree. I think she's making these really awesome, hard decisions, but also keeping that like sense of heart that we've kind of come to expect of her, which is great. Like like that line especially is just this vindication of her just being in charge.
Yeah,
like,
she's completely.
Two boss.
Yeah.
Some great one-liners. Mm-hmm. Where you're just like, oh, hitting home right now.
Aww. Speaking of hitting home.
Yeah.
Go on.
Everyone listening at home, we'd like to thank you for tuning in every week. We really appreciate it. And the way that we like to have you guys show your appreciation for what we do is to go onto iTunes and essentially, when you're on iTunes, hit the give us a review, leave us a comment. It helps boost us to the top of the ratings and lets other people who are big Dark Matter fans find the show and also build this community around the show. We're still waiting to hear if it's renewed, and people like you are what will help it get another season. So make sure that you are supporting the show and make sure that you're supporting shows like this, which also build awareness of Dark Matter itself. And you can do that by leaving us 5 stars if you like us, 4 stars if you don't. The other stars, they do not work! Yes. So please do that. That really helps us. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure to hit that thumbs up and subscribe so that we can get those numbers, and people on YouTube will also go, Dark Matter's awesome!
Yeah.
And we appreciate it. And it also helps us get wonderful, wonderful sponsors.
Oh, man.
Like our the one that sponsors. We have today.
Yes, let's talk about that sponsor. Today, we're sponsored by A&E. Let's talk about A&E. It stands for something. If you know, maybe you should tweet it at us. But I don't. So that's there. But let's talk about real good stuff. A&E, Leah Remedy, Scientology and the Aftermath. Now, this is a... Emmy-nominated, groundbreaking docuseries featuring Leah Remini, who you may remember from The King of Queens, delightful actress. And this is a true story. Docuseries means true. It's Latin. 10 all-new episodes. Leah Remini, Scientology and the Aftermath, follows her along with a high-level former Scientology executive and church members as they delve deep into these shocking stories of abuse and heartbreak and harassment experienced by those who've left the church and spoken publicly about their experiences. This season, she continues her quest to voice the criticism of the Church of Scientology, which is she's very brave for doing. I'm not being facetious, even though that's just how I sound. The series also explores the accounts of former members whose lives have been significantly impacted by the church's practices. So Remini is helping people take action. This is an action series, an action docuseries. Quote me on that. Leah Remini, Scientology and the Aftermath, online, on demand, and on the A&E app. Check it out. She is the face of this movement. It's going to be good stuff, you guys. One Flight, this is airing the 26th of this month. To the 9.
September 12th.
September 12th!
Yep.
Yeah, thank you. I'm not great at dates, y'all, because I'm from the future.
It's true.
But do check this out. A&E, Leah Remini, Scientology in the Aftermath. You're going to learn something, we're going to learn something, and it's going to be good.
Yeah, it's a very interesting story. I've heard her talk about it. I've heard her talk about it on NPR, like when she was first getting all the stories together and things like that. It's very fascinating. It's very engaging. So I highly encourage you guys to check it out.
I watched part of the first season, when I was home with my mom, and it's disturbing. It's like really good, but at the same time you're sitting there going, how are we letting this happen?
So, right.
Two, Ken from Chicago. Thank you for Arts and Entertainment. Is A&E.
Oh, Arts and Entertainment. Ah,
there you go.
Thank you, Ken.
And yes, we do want another season of Dark Matter.
Oh, duh.
As Joseph Malozzi said, we were all pretty disappointed when the show wasn't renewed at SDCC.
So yeah. You guys know what to do. So, hashtag renew Dark Matter. Tweet it. Tweet it now. Tweet it a lot. Retweet it.
Tell your friends to tweet it.
Tell your friends to tweet it. Make dummy accounts. Follow Natalie so she'll do that Instagram thing. And then tweet it.
If you
don't remember, this is my perfect time to mention. She's like 11 followers away from showing you her MeUndies on Instagram. So,
do that. But more importantly, renew Dark Matter.
Renew Dark Matter.
Hashtag it, renew Dark Matter.
Tweet that first, and then this can be for after.
Yes.
Right. That's sounded awful. That good? That's not what I meant.
So, yes. Speaking of dark matter.
Yes.
I want to get to the real crux.
The real
the
meat?
The core. Yes. The meat.
The delicious
meat. The gooey,
meat.
Gooey, sweet, delicious meal. Ooh. That was this episode.
It's so good.
I feel like there was a lot of emotional stakes, a lot of really great sequences.
Yes.
And I really want to start with the android stuff. Okay. We didn't get an in-episode name for the guy who took over Android's body.
No.
But internet says Korvik.
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 I like it.
Yeah.
Internet says that like IMDb?
Yes.
Internet?
Oh, like
internet.
IMDb?
I'm just going to call him Scraggly Hair, but...
I mean, hey, you okay. Call him whatever you want.
Scraggles and... Yeah. No, I like Korvik?
Scrangroy.
Scrangroy.
Korvik.
Okay. Scrang. All right. Yeah, no, I like Korvik. Korvik is a perfect name for this guy.
Yeah. I really enjoyed Zoe's performance in this episode because it was very subtle.
Yes.
It was all just like different looks. The way that she walked was more masculine. Mm-hmm. The way that she talked was very like she put some gravel on
absolutely.
Your voice.
Yeah.
I thought that was really well done. Oh yeah,
That vocal fry.
Listen, yeah. Zoe Palmer is an amazing actress, yes. And I'm so glad she's on this show and has like the room to stretch her legs and her acting abilities because it is every episode is just kind of mind blowing.
No, I completely agree. I think that we probably don't say it loud enough on the show, but Zoe Palmer like is the queen of this show. She's like just has the most opportunity to do the most stuff. It's great that we have the opportunity for everyone to play a different version of themselves, i.e. the other universe.
Yeah.
But like she is literally almost every episode playing a different version of herself, and it is delightful. Like it is such intricate, specific work.
Oh yeah.
Like yes, and I love it.
Kathy is agreeing with all of our
great. Kathy, our you're good people.
Great.
Points, basically.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I especially like it because in the first season, like her personality, she had to just play an android,
yeah.
Which in and of itself, very difficult.
Yes.
And now she gets to like layer on so many different aspects of it. So she's like playing an android and
doing
then she's
French.
Also playing yeah. someone who is pretending to be an android, who is also an assassin, or she's an android pretending to be a person pretending to be an android.
Yeah.
Like it's so many different layers and levels to what she's doing, and I just appreciate it so much. And I felt like this whole thing with the android being taken over, like they set it up a few episodes ago with Rio coming up to Korvik and being like, yo son, you gonna help me take over this ship. And then we get the next episode where the android comes and points a gun at three. And now we have this moment where it's full control, takes over the ship, brings in Rio's crew, and is essentially a force to be reckoned with.
Yes.
At what point did you guys know she was hacked? Like, I mean, we all kind of saw it from the beginning of the trailer from last week. But at the same time, what point in this episode did you go, Android's hacked?
I knew it from the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
When she was talking to Five, especially when she had that, like, turned head look on her face, which like from my voiceover training.
Oh, go on.
They teach you that if you want to appear creepy, a good way to get into it is to turn your head slightly because it is unnerving and brings that piece out of you.
It's got that bird feel that like.
Yeah, birds are weird.
That's true.
Yeah,
birds are naturally.
If you want to be a creep, be a bird.
but yeah. So.
I was just going to say, it took me a hot second.
Did it?
Yeah, because at first I was just like, oh, there's something wrong with the android that she's not remembering her little, like, hair date with Five. Like, oh, it's just, it's not important. Or it's like, it's a different thing she's worried about. Or maybe Sarah, I actually thought, because of the black hair android thing that we got,
yeah.
I was like, oh, Sarah's taking over. This is Sarah, like, subtly being like, oh, I'm taking over the android. Oh, yeah, we had a hair date. Sorry, I forgot. Right?
Right.
I thought that's what was going to happen. I was even holding out hope that Sarah was going to, like, intense, like, organoid from Zoids jump into the android and be like, sorry buddy, you ain't staying here any longer, or something like that.
Right.
Like, we didn't get that, unfortunately, but
I mean, we got a version of it.
I think it straight up took me until we either see the guy in his chair and are like, oh, this is connected bad, or when she goes, no, it had to be that one, because when she goes, that little bitch, I was like, oh, she would never.
Yeah, that too.
I was like, no, you don't. Android don't say the word? Like, no. Yeah. I was shocked, but not really, but like shocked.
Right.
Paradox Bug said he or she, when she forgot about her hair, which I think was also when I went, I was like, for sure that's what happened, but I couldn't figure out who had hacked her.
Right.
I was like, is it an assassin for Rio, which is sort of what happened,
yeah.
Or if it was Sarah, because I still don't trust Sarah.
Really?
But, no, okay, wait, we can get into it later.
No, yeah,
but at this point,
I have questions.
I have, like, I'm literally questioning my own, like, am I just so adamantly not trusting her because that's my instinct is to, and I feel like Malozzi is just writing this in to, like, trick me into trusting her?
Uh-huh.
Or should I really trust her?
I feel like you are completely justified in not trusting her. Because, like, basically we're setting up that this woman is, like, she has no corporeal body. She has nothing to lose, literally. And she has the ability to use her imagination to make things, anything she wants.
Right.
So if you just need to give her, just need to push her a little forward on the power grid, and she's gonna explode with, like, evil energy.
Interesting. Well, that was one of my questions for you guys was,
yes.
We had this, the whole thing with fighting the android was utilizing Sarah and Five and their hacking skills. She was very handy in this episode.
Yeah.
It didn't help you guys trust her anymore.
That's actually what I think they're doing. I think they're setting us to trust her so that we are betrayed.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
That's how I feel too, but at the same time, that could just be me overthinking it 100%.
Okay.
Another thing is that she's able to create realities, right? And she know, and like, we know that Three can go visit her. Yeah, Boone. Great, perfect. Sorry, my numbers are off today. So we know that Three can go and bone her. Like, that's a thing. They can physically...
Okay, listen, he can go boone her.
He can go boone her. And they can, but here's what I'm getting at. They can physically interact. Like,
yes.
That's a real thing. So theoretically, if she wanted to kill him, she probably could. And we don't know what that would do. Would that mean his body disappears completely? Does she get to jump into it? What's the deal there? So there are a lot of questions about how far her power reaches for me.
Interesting.
And I don't think that... I don't know, because she has nothing to lose, right? She's in a corner. She tells us every time we see her how bored she is and how exhaustingly lonely.
Okay.
Like,
well, I mean, she could
painfully
be bored too.
Lonely.
Right.
I'm sure she's bored. I think lonely and bored kind of go hand in hand.
Okay.
In any case, I think that they're gearing her up to be a misunderstood villain. Like, the villain that you're like, no, Loki, no.
Okay.
If you're someone we know.
Right.
But you see what I'm getting at. I think that she is going to have a fall from grace.
Yeah.
Because I do trust her right now. I totally do.
Okay.
But that's why I don't trust her.
All right.
Because the show wants me to trust her. And I don't know about that.
Yes.
I've been burned before.
Andrew doesn't do what anyone wants him to do.
I loved one, you guys.
He's not a trustor. Natalie's not a thinker. Andrew's not a truster.
Listen, yeah. I'm not a truster.
And Tari's not a feeler. So
no,
we
got this covered, you guys. Yeah.
we all the problems.
Complimentary.
Natalie, what do you think?
For what exactly?
So it didn't help you trust Sarah anymore.
I've written, do I trust Sarah now on my notes?
She doesn't know.
I'm not sure. I've written it down to think about it. Because there is just still... Like, I was like, oh, great, Sarah's helping. But at the same time, just there's something about her that just feels off all the time when she's on screen.
Yeah.
And so that's what makes me, not trust her.
Okay.
So I want to trust her. I do. But at the same time, there's just, like, that little, like, 1%
red flag
where it's like you need to trust your gut.
Uh-huh.
And I have a gut feeling that she's not good. So.
Okay. I have the opposite feeling.
Mm-hmm.
I like the idea of her becoming evil, but like practically, I really like the idea of her more becoming a part of the ship. Kind of like we've had in their, like, other shows, they've had like AI that runs a ship and things like that.
Yeah.
I'd like something that like that, or even if they had like a drone that flew around and it was just like, oh, it's Sarah.
Like an Outlaw Star thing.
Right.
Love it.
And because the only thing about her becoming evil or becoming like misunderstood just to go into the real world, I feel like it would be that she'd go into the real world and then she'd be like, I'm bored. I can't create a whole existence here. I'm bored.
Yeah. Here's my counter
okay.
to that. Real quick. I'll make it real quick.
Yeah.
So her being evil is not her being evil. It's her being selfish, which we're all allowed to do at some point, right? But her being selfish is essentially, I want to have a life and not be inside a computer. So what I think it is it's her getting together with Three. It's okay. her with an opportunity to have a real life. Like, that's what she wanted before she went in the stasis thing.
Got it.
Right? She wanted a life with him. So her evilness is only her being like, hey, you might die if I'm not around, first of all, which is a total thing for him. Like, okay. he's constantly getting into danger, and she's, like, seemingly more and more worried.
Yeah.
Because she has less and less control over what she can affect. So that's what I'm worried about, is that she's at some point going to do the android thing, like the robot, the Terminator thing of being like, oh, humans aren't safe taking care of themselves. They need someone a little smarter to do it for them.
Maybe.
Sorry, guys. Maybe. That's my only reticence.
Natalie.
Melosi asks, what clues? My clue is the fact that then right after that you say, poor misunderstood Sarah. That is a clue to me that no, I can't trust. Here's the thing. I can't
say
trust her.
Everyone. He says that about, yeah.
I know. I'm just saying that I can't. She has a secret of some sort, and until I know that secret, whether or not it's like a minor one that she thinks is big or a actual major one, like, I'm not going to trust her. And then he says, but who knows what the secret is, ... And then, oh, wait, Rio knows.
Mm.
Yep.
Oh, Rio.
Interesting.
Yeah. Oh, Rio.
Mm. Yeah. Secret.
Like,
secret.
Poor misunderstood Miyazaki.
Ugh. yeah, she's real misunderstood.
Totally. Just like Rio.
Just like all the characters.
Yeah.
We got a lot of good Rio time. So there was a line earlier, either in this episode or in last episode, where Six was like, I am my best when I'm on this ship. And I feel like it's the same for Six.
Yes.
I feel like Rio.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I feel like he is his best when he's on the ship. Like, he is more rational. He's more forward-thinking. Yeah. And he is more compassionate.
We see that in this episode.
Yeah. Which we learn throughout the course of this dope fight.
Melosi said secrets revealed in episode 312.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, we're so close.
Made us a lot more excited.
We're four episodes away. All right,
we're going to talk about that in prediction.
Yeah, we will.
But right now, let's talk about this fight.
Don't hit me.
I'm just so excited.
Andrew is punching Natalie right now. He's so pumped from this fight, he can't control his fists.
Yeah, I'm playing Rio, and she's two.
Oh, so she's going to beat you up?
Probably. Yeah. But then I'm going to give her a look like, I ain't scared of you. And not say anything.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That was a good moment, you guys. That's what he did in the show.
So do you guys feel like through his actions in this episode, he's a bit redeemed?
Yes.
Do you feel like he's a better person?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
100%.
How so?
I think, go ahead.
Let me just say, I think what you said about him being his best on the ship is absolutely astute. And I think it's not just the ship, it's them. It's this battle I felt like the battle was very symbolic of, like, he is at his best when he's fighting people who are their best, and two is the best. Like, this ship is the best of the best. This is the best people in the galaxy, the most capable people in the galaxy.
Would you say it's the best?
I think it's the best. Oh. So the bestness of this can't be stressed enough. And I think that is important for growth, because Rio is surrounded now by people who consider him the end-all be-all of perfection, or at least treat him like that.
Yeah.
And so he has nowhere to go, nowhere to grow. Everything he does is so scrutinized because he's the Emperor. And it's like, all right, well, do something for you.
He's sort of surrounded by yes-men.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. And the ones who are, like, giving him real honest feedback, like our teacher, are not being heard, are not being understood.
Yeah.
And it's tragic, because it's just that they don't speak to him in a way that he is now capable of, like, responding to. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I think the people in the ship are. I think that too, that fight was a whole conversation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I felt like so much was, and even though they actually had a conversation during it, I felt like there was so much said just by the way they fought each other and just by the way that they finished fighting each other.
Yeah. Natalie, what do you think?
I don't know if he's fully redeemed.
No.
I wouldn't call it redemption in any sort of way, but I definitely agree that he is better when he's with them, because they balance him out. They're the yin to his yang.
Right.
All those fun sequences. Also, Melosi said that fight sequence took an entire day to shoot, and kudos to stunt coordinator John Stead.
Ah. Yes.
Yeah, because
John Stead.
It was beautiful.
Yeah, can I just say, like, I was telling Tori, Tori. I'm so.
You're sorry?
I'm sorry about Tori. Tari. So Tari and I were talking about this before it, but in Jackie Chan classic action movies, which I personally feel are kind of the pinnacle of action movies. They kind of like figured it out. They talk about in kind of analysis and stuff. They talk about how every shot should be framing the next expectation. And I, a very specific example of this is the danger sign. When they finally jumped up to that second level and we're fighting along the second level, our camera pans from the left to the right. And as we get to the right, we see this little danger, peligro, like, oh, like, look out, you could fall down, like, sign. And as soon as the camera moves into the correct position, like 10 seconds after we're first seeing that sign is like two is kicked out of it. It was such masterful shooting, such masterful fighting. Like, this is why I didn't like Iron Fist. It's because there's so much attention to the way that this was done. And in Iron Fist, it's not. So let me just say, this show's better than Iron Fist.
Well, yes.
Well, yeah.
Well, yes. Unequivocally, though.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
I know no one was ever had that in. I know no one ever asked or was called that into question. But I just think it needs to be stated. Yeah. Anyone ever needs to quote me. Do you know if Iron Fist is
After Buzz exclusive?
Exclusive!
Dark Matter.
Tweet it
better than Iron Fist.
Tweet that. Dark Matter, renew Dark Matter, better than Iron Fist. Tweet it right now.
Yeah. Oh, jeez. I will say that I think my standout Rio moment from this episode was when this quietest moment of the episode where he goes into his old quarters.
Yes!
And he grabs the sword.
Oh.
And just all the look of regret on his face and his just pensiveness was perfect. It was perfect. It was so well acted. It was so well just, like, composed. Yes, Natalie.
Eliza just said, Natalie is five sister. Don't tell anyone.
Boosh!
No, just told everyone. I'm so sorry.
Oh, no.
All right. That was the note that I didn't write down about the symbolism. That scene was so symbolic of him missing the ship, of him missing the people who challenge him and make him better and give him an opportunity to, like, breathe and grow and literally use the swords that, like, make him feel like a champion.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a champion right now. He's the emperor.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He misses it. And I miss him.
I do, too. I felt like...
Tell me it's real.
It's real.
Okay.
And, I mean, we technically know... That, I mean, we are told that the House Ishida falls.
Yes.
So maybe we'll get him back.
Maybe it's an intentional fall. Maybe he steps away.
Maybe.
To be like, hey, House Ishida, get off my nuts.
Oh,
or,
yes.
I mean, he did just
that's how he
start,
talks, right?
He did just start a giant fight with a pyre.
Yeah.
P-Y-R. So that could easily be a downfall.
That's true.
True, true.
He's
unrelenting.
Kind
of still, yeah, and also kind of like arrogantly, like going. He's like, because he said, "Oh, I'll win."
Yeah,
it's like that's pretty arrogant to like go into a huge battle with that thought when you're undermanned.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
yeah,
who knows?
I mean, guys, do you think that if he put some of the Raza people on his council, it would help him be...
This is the thing. You can't... You literally cannot combine the House of Ishida with the Raza. You need them both to break down. Because the House of Ishida is about tradition. And it's about, you have to listen to us or we'll kill you. It's about, oh, we have an emperor. It's Yeah, exactly. They all sound good. It's very heavy-handed. And it's very... There's very little room for growth or exploration. It's all about... profits and margins, and like it's about a success in a very like when he's talking to those military people in the military, like, oh, sacrifice the place, not a big deal, we only got like a couple million people on that planet, like it's very like, oh, whatever, life's cheap, which is true, but it's not true in the same way that it's true on the Raza,
right?
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
life is cheap, but the lives on the Raza are important, and each one of those lives is worth 10 million or whatever it is. I don't know the going rate of the lives in the rest of the universe. These people, Adrian and Solara join them for like three episodes and become 10, like they level up five times. It's crazy. Uh-huh. They get so powerful just by being around. I think this crew fosters power and growth.
They foster growth.
Yes, and honesty and
that being
love.
Said,
yeah.
I think that the crew of the Raza could like lead House Ishida if you completely eliminated all other like... influences at the top there.
Right.
If you did get Mizaki and all those type of people. Yeah, exactly. If they could, in theory, be the ones that are the only ones talking to him and like have a council of some sort.
Yeah.
Then maybe, but I think Rio has too much pride mm-hmm. to do that, and so I don't believe it would ever happen.
Yeah, yeah. I'd agree. So his whole goal was to get the blink drive, and he failed this time, and they had that moment where basically they confirmed that if there's no way to reconcile this competition, not even a competition, this battle between the two of them will ultimately end in one of their deaths.
Right.
Which I thought was really sad.
Yes.
I miss Rio.
Yes.
But like, I get it, because both sides are unwilling to move from their position.
Right. Let me just throw this out there. Does it have to be an actual physical death, or could it be a death of memories?
Interesting point.
Could it be a reset of Rio's mind?
Or a reset of everyone's mind.
I mean,
season four. They don't remember anymore.
That feels... There's a certain
really,
amount of
yeah,
ethics.
Yeah, no, I know. That was just throwing it out there.
Yeah, yeah,
it's a
no, I got it.
It's a very solid
just,
point.
And I was just responding.
Do we
that
have to kill him?
What if Sarah jumps in Rio's body and then starts dating three anyway?
Oh, that'd be hot.
It'd be really cute, actually. Yeah.
Except for we don't know the history between Sarah and Rio, so
yeah,
who
knows? That's true. There's
like
a thing.
There's a thing there.
We still need to discover.
That's true. So the last thing we got, basically based on the job we got from the blink drive,
okay,
is that it pulses out when they're trying to test, and everyone passes out.
Yes.
And that's the last thing that we get in this episode.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, we also got the confirmation that the colonies took the deal with Rio.
Yes.
And they're like, yeah, we're definitely going to do that, Rio. No worries.
Those
we owe you.
Yeah.
Dum-dums.
Well, I mean, we'll see.
That's the only thing. That's the only thing. They're so disposable. If Six had made that deal, it would be different. But it's not. It's a bunch of... It's Bald Guy. And I don't want
but
Bald
also,
Guy to
can
go.
We talk
Did we talk about Bald Guy's moment?
I think you...
Okay. I talked about it outside.
Yes.
Really quick. When Bald Guy grabs that sword, he makes such a meal out of just testing the sword and feeling the sword. It's like a solid 15 seconds of just... Whoosh, yeah! And you're like... God, he's going to be so badass in a minute.
Yeah, I really thought
and then
he was
never
really
is.
Well.
That's I'm really worried now. Well, I guess he dropped the sword. But now I was really worried before I had that thought that he was going to die in a subsequent episode because he was going to be like, doop doop doo, I'm having a meeting with Rio. And Rio would be like, where'd you get my goddamn sword? Get over here. And then just kill him.
Yeah,
out of,
right,
you know.
Of course. Because that's classic Rio.
If he's on Zyron.
Classic Zyron Rio.
Zyron Rio.
Zyrio.
Zyrio.
Zero. Before we jump to predictions, we have a special video. I mentioned it at the beginning of the show that our normal host, Yel, she is out at Comic-Con the whole weekend. She's been doing interviews, and she had some time to talk with the crew of the Raza, and they had a little thing for you guys. So check it out.
Hi, this is Melissa O'Neill coming at you from San Diego Comic-Con. Thank you so much for all your support. We love you guys. AfterBuzz, After Show. Mwah.
Hi, thank you to the fans. We love AfterBuzz. Thank you, Dark Matter fans, for tuning in every week, and we absolutely love AfterBuzz.
Hey, guys. Thank you so much for watching Dark Matter. We love the AfterBuzz show.
It's like I watch it a fair amount, actually. Mm. When you So you just know that whatever you guys say...
That's where that has
yep.
to end.
He's like, whatever you guys
whatever
say.
You say. Leaving it out there.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's the warning. That's even more intimidating than anything. Whatever you say. What's it gonna do to me?
No.
Which wait brings us back to the show a little bit, because they had that whole moment where Five was like, I think he's talking bull. Or something, and it cuts to...
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, that was clever and fun and just, like, a great little moment. Mm-hmm. I liked it a lot. Kind of like what just happened here.
Indeed. So now we will jump to predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV.
Yeah,
that was a nice harmony.
High fives and harmony, our new band.
Heck yeah. So we have so many things to predict about.
Yes.
In the predictions for next, or not the predictions, but the preview for next episode, we see that essentially it looks like they're thrown back in time, and the only civilization that is there is current Earth, and so they go to live in a suburban neighborhood while they fix things.
Is it 1950s or what? Like, because I watch the show without getting any of the afters. Like,
yeah,
oh,
I was just
going
to say that I like
oh,
you when
you
watch it on the app. Like the
yeah, you don't
app,
get
it
the
previews.
Okay.
The previews.
Well, it looks like our modern time. Yeah. So like about nowish. Yeah. Oh. So you could, depending on where you go, you can run into the Raza crew.
They're still going to go to like a 50s diner though.
Wait, guys, can I like, so I could walk down the street right now and run into them?
I mean, I
probably.
So. Yeah.
That would be so
cool. They're actually at San Diego though. They're at San Diego Comic Con. It's super weird.
Yeah.
And the people are like, aren't you the Dark Matter people? And like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. They're like, we are the crew of the Raza. And they're like, yeah, you're the crew of the Raza.
We killed so many San Diego Comic Con fans.
We're literally the crew of the Raza.
This is a good episode, Joe. Joseph Malozzi.
It's very perfectly timed.
Yes. Ooh, Joseph Malozzi says next episode equals Back to the Future meets Stranger Things.
Into it.
I'm so in.
I need it.
Play D&D in the past.
So we have that. Also, we have Malozzi mentioning that the secret is revealed in the basically the last or second to last episode of the season. So you can let us know what you think that is.
Yes, please, let us know.
So what tell do you guys, us your thoughts.
So what do you guys think? What are your predictions for the next episode or the remainder of the season? Silence.
After you?
Oh,
I have a lot of thoughts.
You go first and I'll jump in them. If I have opinions.
Okay, fair. I worry for all the characters I care about, especially the characters with less, like with no names, like Bald Guy.
Yeah.
I'm really worried for them. I'm very curious as to see, like, if Guy, who is now trapped in, like, black space, is ever going to come back from that. Or if there's any capability of him coming back from that. And what's happening to his body. Meanwhile, is he in a coma? Is he just straight up, like, dead?
It seems like so he's in a coma.
I would imagine.
Yeah.
I would imagine. But I'm still very curious. Like, well, like, I don't know. Anyway, I want to know about
he's
that stuff.
He's in a sunken place.
I need, yes. Oh, no. I need return of the black tentacle monster.
Okay.
Because it's been a long time since we've had any, like, magic. We're getting a lot of, like, I guess the time machine was a little bit magical.
Yeah.
We're getting a lot of really rad science-y stuff. I need that werewolf. Still waiting for my werewolf.
Okay.
And I just, I want
to... It's like a wish list.
It's a wish list. These aren't predictions. Yeah. They're just a wish list.
Right. Yeah. I also wish for another... I want a Ryo sword fight sequence between him and Misaki. Because I think that they're both, like, the most, you know, ready for that battle to happen. And also probably really sword talented.
Mm-hmm.
He's very sword talented, I know. I want to see more of her sword talent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's what I'm getting at. That's what I'm looking forward to. And that's my opinion.
Dope.
Malozzi, that was a wish list. I hope you were taking it all down.
Right.
Yeah. Writing everything down.
Tentacle monster.
He can rewind.
He can rewind. That's true. Just go back and rewatch this a few times.
I watch the old seasons anytime I get, like, come on, where's one?
What about you, Natalie? You got anything?
I'm worried about my faves, which I'm not allowed to say who my faves are, apparently.
Besides Bald Guy, who's the best.
Yeah, I hear his name is just Baldy.
Baldy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like it. It's easy to remember.
Good.
I'm stoked for this in the past episode.
Yeah.
I feel like that'll kind of establish how this world has been built. So I'm assuming they're going back to Earth, right?
Yes.
So I'm thinking it'll probably help us figure out exactly how we got to this point where we have spaceships and all these other really cool things.
Yeah, that'd be really cool.
And or they're once again in some weird mind dream, like, co-dream thing. And they're being controlled in some form.
Okay.
Or manipulated in some form.
Oh, I hope it's actually the past.
Me too.
Because the name of the episode next week is Isn't That a Paradox? So it could be actual time travel. You had a thought.
I had a crazy thought. What if Sarah is able to make a whole reality if she matrixes everyone?
Okay.
That's as far as I got, but man, did that explode my brain a minute ago.
Yeah, like, she's the one who's built this 1950s world
or whatever. Yeah,
I think it's 2017.
What if she solves all the problems in the universe, but only in this matrix for them so that she can control them? Because she's selfish and she just wants three to not die. She just wants three to not die, which is not that selfish, but it's selfish enough to be scary as a robot.
Okay, or she's just trying to repair their minds because they got destroyed by the EMP.
Got it.
And maybe she is really good, and that's all I'll say for that.
Good question.
But also, Malozzi says next episode is the perfect episode to introduce your non-sci-fi watching friends to the show.
Interesting.
Sounds like a good way to get people to renew it.
Yeah.
Let's have a party. Yes.
Let's have a watching party.
That would be dope.
I'm super down.
All right. Start planning it. And we'll live tweet it.
Boom, live tweeting this Friday.
Yeah. So we'll live tweet it from our Twitters, which you can follow us at. I'm wrapping up the show, guys.
Okay. Sure.
Okay.
Thanks for joining us here on AfterBuzz TV. Don't forget to like and subscribe to make sure that we hit the top of the charts so that everyone knows about Dark Matter, so we can get a renewal on Dark Matter, because we love the show.
We do.
And we love talking about it, and we love doing this every week, Sundays at 4 o'clock Pacific Daytime Time. And in between the weeks, in between the episodes, make sure to catch up with us on our social medias. Natalie, where can they find you?
You can find me at Natalie Dyer, NataleeDyer on Twitter and Instagram and Tumblr and all those fun social medias.
Dope.
I'll try and tweet more.
I'm Andrew Mena. You can find me on Twitter at Andrew Mena, on Instagram at The Andrew Mena. And if you like D&D podcasts, maybe check that out. We post every Saturday. Natalie and I are on the podcast, and it's called Welcome to the Dungeon Hole, available on iTunes and SoundCloud at Dungeon Hole on Twitter.
Awesome. I have a lot to plug, so yeah. You can find me at Tari J. It's TORIJAY. That's on Instagram and Twitter. You can also find me and my friend Lex Michael on our new podcast called Missing Out. We discuss different media that we've missed out on throughout the course of our lives, and we do a retrospective and also kind of a tracing of the timeline of the movie or music or things of that sort. So check it out. We're releasing our second episode. It is Night of the Living Dead. Ooh. On iTunes. You can also find the wonderful Anders Lives shirts.
Yes.
On OTTs, or yes, yes, it is OTT. On Redbubble. Redbubble.com/people/OTTs. It's OTTs, your OTP. Thanks for joining us once again. We'll see you next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Hot chocolate!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.